Ben is five. Try to go through a little bit of Ben is five of the week. The Parshas Lech Lecha. Fine. So now we're going to start a little bit from what he says. Hanai, you have your Ben is five?
No, I didn't bring it. I'll bring it home.
Next time. Okay, so basically, I can bring more next time. Yeah. Fine. Best of the show. We're going to try to first start. So Ben is five. Every week he has a little bit on the Parsha. And then he ties in the halacha, and then he's going to say some halacha. So we'll start from what he says. Drush. He says over here that the pasuk says, I'm Yosef. I don't know if I'm going to be until one. Should I say? Fine. So it says over here that it says in the sixth parsha, Avraham Avinu was very heavy. He was very wealthy. With cattle, with gold and silver. He said that Avraham Avinu was very wealthy. Says he's, the terminology it uses was, he was kaved, but he was very heavy. That's the terminology, it says kaved. Kaved means he's very heavy. So what's the pasuk coming to teach us? It's coming to teach us, the Ben Ish Chai says, a praise about Avraham Avinu. That what? Even though we know Avraham Avinu was a very big Zariz, he was very zealous. That we find, like by the, right, we see by the Akedah, right, by the, when he came to he was ready to slaughter his son, he said Vayasu, he got up early in the morning. But we have a lot of psukkah that say that Avraham Avinu, who's very zealous, says when he told his wife to mahari, right, quickly bake the things for the guests when the Arabs came. We have a lot of psukkah that say that he was very quick. Avraham Avinu, who's a zealous. But you might think if he was quick, maybe he was quick to do. Maybe that was just that type of guy. He was just that kind of guy. You know, just the quick type of guy. When it came to business, also maybe he was quick. When it came to money, maybe he was also quick. He says no, but here the pasuk tells us that when it came to his money, he was very heavy. He was slow. So he took his time. He said Avraham kaved. He was very heavy, and he acted with weight and with heaviness. He was slow when he's dealing with his cattle and gold and silver. He didn't run after them. And he says that. Also, we see in the pasuk it says, "Go to the ant, you lazy person, see its ways and become wise." That's the pasuk of Mishlei says. Parakba Mishlei Zayin, right? It says, "Go to the ant, lazy person, see its ways and become wise." What's that supposed to mean? So he says over here like this: it says, "Go, lazy person, learn from the ant, but learn from its ways to be wise." When it comes to chachma. Comes to Torah and comes to things that are holiness that will give you actual knowledge, that's what you should learn from the ant. But now when it comes to running after Averis and running after all the Taivas and running after all the materialism, then don't be quick to it. That's the Ben Ish Chai says. Saying, look at it for Hakam, when it's going to help you be a Chacham, that's when you should be a Zariz. That's when you should be zealous. But if it's going to take you down, your Averis, don't do your Averis so fast. Now the Bali Musa say, the only we ran to do mitzvahs, like we run to do our Averis. That's what we say in Midu, right? We ran to do Averis. Say, make sure it's important to be a Zaris, but don't think of Avraham Avinu, he was just that type of guy, and he was always quick, even when it came to materialism. No, when it came to materialism, he was slow to it, he took his time, he didn't run. When it came to mitzvahs, that's when he was very speedy, that's when he was quick. Also, another thing about Zrizut, about, you know, being quick and getting moving, Ben Ish Chai says, I bring the pasuk from David HaMelech at the hill, says, Chashti, I was quick. I did not wait, and I wasn't slow. To keep your mitzvahs. The Ben Ish Chai asks, if David HaMelech said, okay, we have a tariff response, if David HaMelech said, I was quick, why does he have to say, I wasn't slow? The Pasuk in chapter 119, Pasuk 60, says, Chashti, I was quick. I wasn't slow, I didn't wait to do your mitzvahs. So obviously, if you were quick to do the mitzvahs, obviously you weren't slow. What do you say? You hear his question? If you're quick, so Akiva, what's the answer? No. So if you're quick, what's the answer? He says like this. He says a lot of times, let's say you have to rush somewhere. So if the streets are empty, so you rush and rush. You're running. What happens when you get to a congested area? So most people, once you slow down, you just slow down. You're a congested area, the marketplace. You walk slowly. Even though you could walk a little quicker. But once you're slowing down already, you just lose your momentum. You just go slow. You just walk very slowly. Right? That's human nature. So you know, David Mel said, that's not what I do. I'm going to run now. I'm going to be quick. And what about when I have to get slowed down a little bit? I'm not going to get totally slowed down. Even if there are targets to get slowed down a little bit, I'm not going to get too slow. That's what he says. So Chashi, I was quick, but I didn't get too slow to keep your mitzvahs. And he said that all my Jews was just to keep your mitzvahs. Now, says that the words. He's not saying that. He's saying, don't slow down to pace that you don't have to. Slow down only as much as you have to. Human nature is, usually, once we slow down totally. We walk like, we take like baby steps. Say, no, you have to slow down to be in the marketplace, but keep on moving. You're not necessarily talking about Machlivis, just giving an example. In all areas in life, sometimes we're able to go quick, and then there's some things we can't go as fast. But the human nature is, once we can't go as quick as we usually go, we just turn down altogether. Say, no. Even if I can't go there, it's in all spirituality, whatever it is, if it's in davening, if it's in learning Torah, if we're running at a fast pace and suddenly we're slowed down, fine, so we have to be slowed down a little bit. Don't slow down totally. That's the Rav says, Chashdi, I was quick. I wasn't too slow. Even when I had to slow down, I wasn't too slow.
That's how life is in Israel. That's how people are. They have to slow down.
Don't slow down. It's because you got to be a tzar. You got to keep on going. For mitzvahs. It's not for materialism. For mitzvahs.
For mitzvahs.
So Ben Ezra says, the word zaris is the same gematria as zeratov, as a good crown. He's saying, because if a person is a zaris, they're very zealous, then it's a good crown. It's a very good attribute to have. Like it says, be swift like a nesher, and run like a tzvi, right? It says, be strong like a lion through Hashem's do, Hashem's ratza. It's like this. Every action which we do has a source inside of us. It says, what's the source? What's the depth, the deep inside someone who is a Zaris who's very quick? When are you quick? When you're happy. When we're down, we're very slow. We're not excited, we're very slow. When we're excited and we're happy, that's when we move quickly. So he says these two midas of Simcha, being happy, and Zrizus are connected to each other. And the more we have one, the more we'll have the other. You got that, Hanan? This will be a test. The two midas that are connected to each other, what's the source of a person being quick to do mitzvahs? It's their inner simcha, their inner happiness. Happiness and azaris are connected, depending on each other. The more happy I am, the more quick I'll be, right? So therefore, it's very good to try to have these things, these two midas, right? And now that's what we're going to understand. In Chazal, let's say, the word vahaya, and it should be, is used as a terminology of happiness. And the word vahaya is also used as a terminology of zrizus, of zealousness, of being quick. So it's the same thing, because they're connected to each other. Kiva. Therefore, they don't use the same word, Bahaya. Bahaya is the same word to be used for Simcha, and for Zrizus, and for Zealousness. Because they're really connected to each other. Now we'll start the Halacha.
When I saw a wedding where the bride was, and her parents ran to the chuppah from like an outside wedding, and they were, but they actually ran to the chuppah. It was very different. A lot about zealousness. You know, they were
excited.
They were excited and happy. And they were running because of that.
So it's good, because they're happy. They were happy.
Yeah. First time ever someone came out.
Oh, so it says like this. So first of all, the word Vahaya also is the same word as Havaya, Hashem's name, Yurke Vavke. So it's important to try to be a zealous as much as you can, and whichever, either try to be happy, try to be zealous, that depending on each other, to try to do whatever we can. Like that, when we see what we see Hashem say, Hanan, let's say I'm not feeling happy today, I'm not feeling it today. I'm just feeling, so the Hashem says, you should act as if you're in the mood and do things quickly, because the outside will make a difference on the inside. And the chetzen is the outside will wake up the inside. So what do I do, right? Something I serve Hashem with, you, the inner feeling. Let's say I'm not feeling it today. Like, what do I do if I'm not feeling it today? So what I do is, if I'm on the outside, if I'm a zar, if I move myself on the outside, that'll help my inside, will awaken my insides. That's what Mesilas Yesharim says.
How's the outside going?
When I do my motions, if I, in an outward motion, if I physically I'm quick, even though I'm not in the mood of being quick, I'm in the mood of being lazy and I'm tired. If I move my body physically in a quick way, and I physically get up right away and try to move myself, that will automatically trigger the inside, and that will awaken my inside, and my inside will awaken, he said, an inner heat, and an inner hislavas, an inner inspiration to come close to Hashem. Automatically. That's the way he said, that's the way it works. Oh, so now, The pasuk says when they were collecting the man. Now we're going to start the halachas. We used to collect in the midbar. They were collecting the man. It says vahaya. It says the word vahaya, and it was on the sixth day. They prepared what they brought. Chazal say we see two things. First of all, a person has to be vahaya. We said it means simcha. A person has to, when they prepare for Shabbos, but they try to do it with simcha. Even though it's hard sometimes, it's uptight, we have so much to do, to try to serve Hashem with simcha. Let's say it's hard. So we said, if we do it with quickness, we move ourselves, so it will help us be happy. Also, it says, Vahaya, we should do it as reasons. We should move ourselves. So for preparing for Shabbos, it's a special message to get up early on Friday. Get up a little bit earlier than we used to. Get up earlier on Shabbos, so we could daven earlier. So that we could prepare for Shabbos. That is the halacha. So it says over here, just like by the man, it says when they collected the man, and it was on the sixth day, they prepared what they brought. They're saying, us also, we should try to prepare the Tzarek Shabbos. Right? And it says the Beis Yosef says in the name of the Medrash Tanchuma in the Torah, bring a different reason why you should prepare earlier. But he says, a person, we should try to do the preparation of Shabbos as early on Friday as possible. Okay. And if there's no time on Friday, it's a very short day. Like this week, the Shabbos will be early Shabbos ready. Right? Shabbos, the Shkia is going to be 4:50. So somebody will, if you light candles 40 minutes before it's ready, 4:10 could be candle lighting. Right? It could be early ready this week, Shabbos. Therefore, there is a mitzvah to prepare for Shabbos early in the morning. Whatever, take our preparations before, as early as we can. And even people who learn Torah after davening every day, but if it's not Shabbos, don't learn Torah. Now is your time to prepare for Shabbos. Unless you're for sure not going to learn, you're learning. He says on Friday morning, after davening, instead of sitting down to your learning, you chavrusa, no chavrusa now. Go prepare for Shabbos. I was not talking about if someone's learning their 1 minute halacha. Instead of sitting down with your chavrusa for the morning, you learn for a nice time. Unless it's a shir of the tzibur, and you're not going to have the shir, Mishabur says, then you should still keep the shiur. Usually, Shabbos, Friday morning, daven, and get on your way. Start preparing for Shabbos right away. Right? So what should you do? A person should do shnayim mikra v'acha targum. Now we know the mitzvah, you're supposed to read the parasha twice and the targum once every week, like it says in Shulchan Aruch. Right? First, he said, after davening Friday morning, what's your schedule? Daven, do shnayim mikra v'acha targum, and go to the store. Don't get your chavrusa and start learning and start doing all your things. And now, your mitzvah is to prepare for Shabbos. Right? So if you even want to run out before you do Shnayim Mikra V'Chatagim, you're allowed. And then do Shnayim Mikra in your house later. So that was the minig they used to have in Baghdad. That even though afterwards, every day they would have a shir Torah after davening, Friday mornings they wouldn't do that. Friday mornings they would just do Shnayim Mikra. Everybody do their thing. And do Shnayim Mikra, get in your way, start doing your shopping for Shabbos. Now, we know that halacha, we're not allowed to engage in outside activities before davening, correct? We can do basic activities we need to do. We can't do activities which might make us distracted and forget to daven. For example, going to the store. So now, it was one. Let's say one needs to go to the day. Wake up Friday morning. It's already 8:00. Let's say they woke up late. Instead of wake up 5:00, they woke up 8:00. Fine. Now, the store. They know that there might not be enough meat. I need meat from the store, and there might not be enough, or the price is going to go higher. It doesn't happen so much now. But basically, if I don't get to the store before davening, I'm not going to have this. I'm not going to be able to buy this item. The place where I go, it's not going to be around. Am I allowed to go and buy, go shopping before davening on Friday morning? Yeah, Rabbi Yosef says, yeah, you're allowed to go shopping. If this is the only way I can do the mitzvah, if not, I'm not going to be able to do the mitzvah later of buying the meat, and it's gonna get, even if it's just going to get too expensive, I'm allowed to do this mitzvah before davening. Even though it's distracting, you're allowed, either you're not allowed to go shopping before davening, this you're allowed to do before davening. You're allowed to go to the store before davening. However, don't miss tefillah with the tzibur. Don't miss davening with the tzibur. If you make sure to daven with a minyan. Now, even though we're saying it's very important to repair Friday morning, there's still a mitzvah to repair right before Shabbos. What's a good idea? What can we do right before Shabbos? We're saying we really try to prepare everything we can in the morning. So what am I supposed to do right before Shabbos?
Prepare your wife's attention.
Oh. It says, prepare your wife's candles. Leave something for the end. It shouldn't be like you're preparing for Shabbos the whole day and then you should come into Shabbos. So one of the ideas that's what the Ben Ishchai used to do. See, Hanan and the Ben Ishchai are the same idea. He says that we should try to prepare also right before Shabbos. Somehow it's not really a problem. You're preparing anyway before Shabbos, but if this is your issue, you should set up the candle. Like we said last week, you mentioned last week, that the man...
Put the oil, prepare the wicks. You light the wicks, start them so they're easy to put a light. Put a match out. You turn a little thing for her after she lights to put her match in so it burns out.
Good.
Not just putting tea candles out. It's a whole
thing.
It's a whole petal.
Okay, so therefore, we mentioned last year the man is the one who's supposed to prepare the candlesticks, right? So therefore, you should leave that, if you can remember, to the last thing before Shabbos. Or leave something for the end also to do before Shabbos. Now what if I have a lot of maids to work for me. I have a lot of maids. I have one maid who cuts the vegetables. All we do is, I turn the fire on, and the wife's in the kitchen just, stirring the food. But everything else, they're spicing it, they're doing everything, they clean the house, they cut the vegetables, they did everything. Am I supposed to still do things for Shabbos?
Sure.
Well, let's say I don't have a maid, let's say we have a wife. She prepared everything for Shabbos.
Sure.
Still is a mitzvah on the man in every household to also. I say maybe it's below my dignity. So we have the Gemara. The Gemara is a Rav Chista, who's definitely bigger than me. Mechatecha, he would cut the vegetables. Imagine Rav Chista, imagine you say, wow, the God of Adar, he cuts the vegetables. Yeah. Rav Chista, he wanted to add a little part in it. So obviously he could, there could have been other people to do it. He did it himself. Just really himself, he cut the vegetables. Rab and Rav Yosef, they would chop the wood. Wood chopping. So what do you mean, Rosh Hashiva, you're going to sit there? Yeah, for Shabbos. Big Rosh Hashiva, big God of Adar. They sat there with the axe, chopping the wood. So Rav Zera would light the fire. Rav Papa, he would also, make the wicks. Rav Nachman, Misakni, he would fix the house. He would set up the house, clean up, and do what he has to do. And it says in the Sfarim, it says in the name of Sira Kavanas, that the sweat that a person sweats for Shabbos, Hashem takes that sweat and he erases the Averis with that sweat. Know that? Hashem erases the Averis. It's pretty good, huh? Sounds good, no? When we sweat, Hashem takes that sweat and erases our Averis with that sweat, right? Because we know in Shemayim, every time we do Averis, it's written down, everything's written down, so to speak. So to speak, when we sweat also, they take that sweat and they erase the writing, right? When you take water, you erase something.
So you don't have to do it to shoot.
Just have to sweat. Yeah, but first, that's part of your tshuva. But really, the sweating, it has to do with also, it's very hard to erase the sin totally. Even when we do tshuva, we're not really doing such a high level of tshuva. We're doing what we can. It's really not, if you want to know real tshuva, is read the Sfarim. It's like impossible how many fasts you have to fast in each Avera, and how much really, we have to really, really do tshuva to the extent we won't ever do it again. It's hard to do real tshuva. It's a daven to get there one day. But if you sweat, it could definitely help erase sweating for Hashem. Yeah, so if you sweat for Shabbos, if you sweat for Hashem, then that's a very big tshuva. You take that sweat. If you sweat for Torah, also you could sweat when you're trying to understand the Gemara. So it'll erase the Averis. So Ben Shai writes about his father. He used to go and buy the fruits from the marketplace for Shabbos. He would pick the fruits and put them on the scale, and then the servant would come and bring the fruits home. But he'd be the one to pick the fruits and put them on the scale. So you see, obviously, they didn't have to. Those days, they had servants. Everybody had servants. So really, servants could have done everything. Do this, do that. Still, anyway, he went to the store. He picked the fruits. He put them on the scale. Now, it used to be there's a halacha. You're supposed to sharpen the knife in Erev Shabbos for Shalom Bayis. Those days, they didn't have the best knives. So you have to constantly sharpen them that they should work on Shabbos. Right? Because if not, you have an issue with Shalom Bayis. You're going to be sitting with the knife trying to cut your wife's chal. It's telling you, chal doesn't cut. Meanwhile, your knife doesn't cut. You're busy like this. So therefore, it's a mitzvah. Sadly, Ben Ishchai said, even though we don't need it these days, we should still do it anyways. So it's based on psukim. Oh. Now, according to the Arizal, all the preparation for Shabbos should be done on Friday.
All of it
should be done on Friday, according to the Arizal. Now, what about... If it's it's the winter time.
Why do some people have it start preparing on Wednesday night?
No, so he's saying if you can't do it on Friday, those days it wasn't like today. They didn't have so many stores and so much stuff to do. It wasn't like today. They didn't have so many foods and this and that. It was different.
What I wish that we're all supposed to have 500-meter houses.
So we're gonna have.
So if we have 500-meter houses, we can't clean them and everything.
So if you're in a situation where you can't. Then start on Thursday, start early.
But he says with 500-meter houses, that's when Mashiach comes.
Yeah, that's different.
So when Shia comes, you have to wear that.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Everybody will be like Shabbos.
Well, one big Shabbos. He's saying, these days, that's a practice also. He says, but there definitely is an Indian. Some people say, I'll do everything on Thursday, then relax Friday. There's definitely, according to Arizal, to make the fixed up our neshama, it's definitely important to work for Shabbos on Friday specifically. Anyway, most of the time we end up with a lot of stuff to do on Friday. It's not such a problem. But anyway, there's an Indian to dafka do things for Shabbos on Friday. That's Erev Shabbos that makes the tikkun, which we know that's when the sin of other Rishim happened, right? That's the sin. Basically, we need it fixed up for Thursday. But he says the bread, at least the bread, that is Chayis, that should be made on Friday. So if you're making challah in your house, that at least the bread should be made on Friday, because that's the ikar part of the Suda Shabbos. What's the main Suda Shabbos? One of the main things is the bread. You need the bread, of course, you want to have something else with it. But the main thing, besides all the salads, all very nice, everything else is beautiful. The main thing, one of the main things is to have lachah, to have kiddush, and have bread, to have lachah mishnah. So at least the bread should be made on Friday. Good? If it's can, of course, everything's if you can. We're not saying halacha, we're not saying it's usher, it's forbidden to make it earlier. But it's preferable to make it, it helps. From the Arizal, I'll say you should prepare on Friday. Oh. And also, even though one makes, usually buys bread from the store the entire week, it's better if one's wife can make challah. Or you make challah if your wife doesn't know how to make challah. Or get someone else to make challah. It's especially like we mentioned last week, right? That Chava, she put out the light of the world on Erev Shabbos, right? And the way to fix that is, so one of the ways to fix that is by taking off, by making challah and doing the mitzvah of challah, separating challah, right? Also, he says to people should give tzedakah, and since it's such a big thing for a tikkun for the ladies in Shama, because it's to fix up a challah and stuff, some of the ladies also give tzedakah before they do challah, before they do, they light their candles on Shabbos. Before all their mitzvahs, they also give tzedakah, since it's such a high mitzvah, to make the tikkun, to fix up what got messed up. Now, how big does the dough have to be that you have to chayes to take off challah? So in America they say 5 pounds, which is the shear of, which is going to be in a kilo, it is, how much kilo, 5 pounds, and how many kilo? 2 kilo and a quarter kilo is the amount that one has to take off challah with a brach. Correct? You make a batter with 2.250 kilo, that was just 2 1/4 bags, basically 2 kilo and a quarter, then already has to take off challah. Less than that could be questionable. But that's the accepted opinion in America, that's the regular opinion of the Chaim Nod. There's always whenever you're going to deal with measurements, there's a very big machlokes between two rabbis in the last generation. One's called Rav Chaim Noah, one's called the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish, you heard of. Rav Chaim Noah also, but the general accepted opinion, meaning it could be the Chazon Ish or Chumra, the regular opinion, let's say in America, they take off challah for 5 pounds, which is like the more lenient shita, which is 2.250. Basically, if you 2.250 kilo, it's like 4.96 pounds. It's almost 5 pounds.
Where does the 1.6 kilo measurement come in for here?
Where does your, sorry, What I say before, 2.250 kilo is the Chazon Ish. I'm sorry, that's the more strict opinion. The more lenient opinion is 1.6. That is the Reb Chaim Noah, which is the more lenient. So it's interesting because in America they go with the more strict opinion. The accepted opinion in America for some reason is ask any lady how much she take off challah, they'll tell you 5 pounds. It could, which is like the stricter opinion, which is interesting. It could be, it came from the fact that that's how they sell
5 pound bags.
5 pound bags. That's simple. You tell a lady, 5 pound bags, that's how much you take off challah. It's very simple. But that's the stricter opinion. So that would be over here 2.250 kilo. But really, it's the opinion of Chaim Noah also 1.665 kilo is enough already to shear you take off. Whenever you always have problems in Kiddush, there's always different shear between Chaim Noah and Chazon Ish, how they measure. It's a very big machlokes, how to measure things. And it happens to be, it's interesting because Rav Nachman's cup, his Kiddush cup, which they have, is really the shear, the lenient shear. So really, according to the shear of Rav Chaim Noah, which is more lenient shear. What?
3.2 ounces?
Yeah, something like that. It's not the bigger shear.
Not the 5 ounces.
Now in the Sfarim store, so they make, they sell replicas of Rav Nachman's cup. You can buy a cup.
It's a bigger cup though.
No, they sell the regular one. If you want, you ask them for the big one. The real replica is smaller. They sell two in the store. You can buy the regular one, or you can buy the one that's a little big, because some people like the shear of Rav Chaim Nachman. The real replica of Rav Nachman's cup itself was a smaller shear. Oh. It was like Rav Chaim Nachman. It's clear they have it. They, until people wanted it. So basically, for the rice, it's fine. You can use it. But what, you have it, but you have the cup?
No, I've seen it.
There's two sides. There's two different sides. One is bigger.
That's what I'm saying. It's obviously the bigger size, the one I've seen.
No, the one, it's not. It's,
I can't imagine what he's a smaller thing.
That's why. That's the use. Who said he had like Ruchai Chazan Ish Lechumra? He had like Ruchai Na. Who said he had like that? It's too many. It's Ruchai Na. Chazan Ish is a stringency. Could, it seems like he held like the smaller shoe. Why not? It doesn't have to be that he held like the bigger shoe. It's clear if Nachman run the smaller shoe, at least for Kiddush, could be that they're Rabbanan, because make the Kiddush on one is just Rabbanan. But anyways, that is that. Fine. So now we said you shouldn't have less than two cooked foods in your meal on Shabbos. And of course, right, if you can have fish, it's even better. Now also the mitzvah to taste a little bit with your wife's permission for the food on Erev Shabbos, make sure it tastes good. To make sure that it has enough salt, enough spices, of course if your wife lets, and really this mitzvah is to take a little taste. If you want to take more, that's your own cheshma. But here it's a mitzvah, you want to taste the food, right, like before fancy weddings, I heard once from Akiva, they have taste testing, you have the whole day of testing the meals, right? You go to the hall, you start tasting the people, these fancy weddings, they're out of, they have a day of testing all the foods. So, if that's what they do for a wedding, for us for Shabbos, which is our big wedding, they need to taste the foods with your wife's permission. Usually, anyways, the ladies taste the food to see if it's good. But anyway, it's a mitzvah, tell your wife I learned, it's a mitzvah, taste the food. Taste the food, Erev Shabbos. So she has to start taking it to Cheshvan, you're going to taste it before Shabbos. When she makes the food, she has to realize. And it tastes, but it's a special mitzvah to taste it. There is a pasuk that they based on, it says, Ta'ameh Chaim Zachot. It's really referring to Shabbos. It says, one who tastes Shabbos, they merit life. One who keeps Shabbos. Yeah, they use it for this, Ta'ameh Chaim Zachot. They want to taste the food on Erev Shabbos, they're going to get long life. As they say, you know, some people are very machbud on this halacha, they're very strict to make sure they taste, they get a good taste. But it's a mitzvah to taste, the point is, the whole point is, people forget the whole point. I think it's just to eat Shabbos food on Friday. To make sure it tastes good, they need more salt. Too much salt, I don't know. Make sure it doesn't need more spice.
Yeah, you're very careful.
Yeah, but
there's some bias to say that it needs, or it's got too much.
Yeah, it's just say it. Perfect. No, it depends. I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes beforehand, they wouldn't mind. You tell them, by the way, maybe whatever, you know. After the fact, they go, yeah, just be careful. But usually they taste it anyway. That's the truth. Ladies, when they make the food, usually they taste it. Now, there's a special mitzvah. Ezra Sofer made a takana. He made a bunch of takanas. Ezra Sofer, he brought people back from Babel up to from Babylonia up to Israel. He enacted a lot of enactments, but one of them are we read the Torah Monday and Thursday. That was from Ezra Sefer, because we're afraid we're not going to learn Torah, so at least you won't go 3 days straight. We're talking about the second temple, right? So therefore, he said one of the theories he made was that every person should wash their laundry on Thursday. First of all, so you can have clean laundry. And so secondly, he did not want people cleaning their laundry on Friday, because you're going to get distracted and you're not going to be available to prepare for Shabbos, and you're going to be very busy doing your own things, busy hanging, scrubbing, you know, your laundry. Now, the question that applies these days, are you allowed to put clothing in a washing machine? So it doesn't take me a grand total of 2 minutes, right? To switch the load takes another 2 minutes, right? So if we have a wash and a dryer, the person says you could do it these days, because it's not going to take up all your time. It takes, throw the clothing in the wash and just throw it in the dryer. It doesn't take up time. The only reason why Ezra said you can't do laundry on Friday, you want to do it on Thursday, was so you shouldn't be spending your whole Friday in the laundromat. Say on the riverbank, scrubbing your with your stone. Correct? So really, if you have a wash and dryer, it's not going to take up too much time. Then, it's allowed. Got that, Hanan? So, but really it's better even these days to try to stay away from washing on Friday. Try to make washing day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and not Friday. Try to put it into your planner. Put it in your Yuman. That's what you should plan. And do other things for Shabbos. On Shabbos, on a Friday, cook for Shabbos. Good? Now, if we are washing clothing and cover Shabbos on Sunday, it's also good. If I have a Shabbos, right? They used to have only one pair of clothing. A lot of people. So you wash it on Thursday for Shabbos. But these days, if we wash our Shabbos clothing on Sunday, it's also okay. The main thing is there should be seen that it's for covered Shabbos. Everyone sees that it's for Shabbos. Fine, so we're going to stop over here. Baruch Hashem, Shkoyach.
Baruch Hashem.
Yashikar.